Hey, invite somebody to church if you can. We just are getting through this season, the COVID season. We want to be careful as possible. We're not passing baskets and doing our thing. But man, we think that this is a crazy season and that people need hope and people need life and people need to come to this place to hear truth. And we're in this series. Watch this, man. We're in this series called The Art of Deception. And this is kind of one of them power preaching, right? I love to preach and I love power preaching. And I love to come to a place to get into this. And I love to come to a place to say, this is what God said. And I love to come to a place to challenge you and I to read the word and actually believe what God said. And I love to come to a place to know there's a very real enemy who hates you. And watch this, he will do anything in his power. He is cunning. He will do everything to put the pedal down until you are deceived, until your marriage has gone on a sidetrack, until your kids walk in a place to be misled and deceived. And I love this type of series as a wake up to you and I as a church, a wake up to you and I as parents. It is a reminder that the enemy does come through your television. He does come through your phone and the internet. He does come through, not in a person, but in agenda, right? He comes through your movies and he comes through the music and he comes through the school system. And I'm in public school. I was not now, but my kid is in, Ethan's in public school, not a hit on public school, but he comes through different teachings in schools and in colleges in public education. And this is one of them series to say, hey, listen, it is time for us to wake up, because the enemy, who's always since Genesis 3 been after mankind, and sometimes you and I fall asleep to that. And I love this, because this is one of those days that we're just going to get with it and get on it and get busy and say, hey, my eyes are open. And when I understand truth, the enemy no longer is a threat. Me as a parent, when I understand the enemy's agenda and I understand his schemes and I understand his lies, he's no longer a threat to me and my house. And watch this, please hear this. Today we're going to talk about creation. Evolution and creation. And what does evolution and creation? And look at what God said. And we're coming to a place to battle, because hear this, please. This is one of the widest, there's a lot of lies, but this is one of the most widespread lies that you better be aware of. And it is no secret. Evolution has crept into the school books. Evolution has crept into almost every college that your child will go to. Evolution has tried to creep into church. There's churches now who don't believe God as complete, total creator. They don't believe in the six literal days. They believe in maybe an intelligent design. Maybe it was God plus evolution. Maybe it was God plus something natural. Maybe there's a mix somewhere. Oh, come on, you can't mix. You can't mix. We're going to preach it today, and I want you to understand this. You can believe this or you can reject this, but you can't change this. Please hear that. Because that's what's going on, is people want to change it to fit their agenda. People want to change it to fit some natural lie. And listen, please hear this. You better be aware of this for your kids. You better be aware of this in your parenting. Just because something is told over and told over and told over, just because it's in the school books, just because it's in the colleges, just because it's in cartoons, just because they will push that billion years, just because they will push that million years, and you hear it over and over. Listen, a lie repeated doesn't make it truth. And I'm telling you, BC, we got to hit this thing, because we got to understand there's a very real enemy who wants to mislead and misguide and deceive. And if you can see, today we're going to hit it, if you can see where he wants to take the creation legs out from under God, that you would actually come to a place to maybe just buy in there was God as creator plus something. You bought into a lie. Or how about your kids? That they get on the yellow bus and they go to school, and then all of a sudden the textbooks are teaching them billions of years. Or they go to a college that even has Christian to it. And yet these Christian colleges, even Catholic colleges, are pushing a very liberal agenda. And you just thought, well, it's safe because it's Christian. You better do your homework. because this evolution push, this billions of years push, this trying to relay this lie. Listen, the enemy's crafty and he's good, and the only way to debunk the lie is to know the truth. Do your kids, watch this, are your kids able to quickly, and I mean quickly, identify a lie where that seed doesn't set? Because when that seed sets, why is it that your kids will leave your house? You have spent 18 years with them pushing truth and pushing truth and pushing truth, and you put them into a college for 4 years, and they come out denying the truth. What? I spent 18 years of my life pushing truth on my kids, praying over my kids, and yet these guys let this liberal agenda slip in, and seeds began to get planted in my kid, and then now they're going to believe. And listen, this is the lie. This is the enemy. You've got to understand that. This is the enemy trying to derail you, trying to derail your marriage, trying to derail your kids. You walk in a place to say, what does God say about this? Why can't we just come back to a place? Well, why do you believe that? Because God said so. Amen. It's not that complicated. And I'm getting juiced this morning because this is a very real issue that needs to be punched right square in the nose. Because it's an absolute lie. And who's going to say, listen, the bridge is out ahead. Listen, I love you enough to say, don't buy in to that evolution lie. We're going to go over some things, and I hope to make it so simple today that you walk out of this place going, of course, God said, it's not complicated. And the enemy loves to complicate the simple. Do you realize that the Bible was written on a fourth grade education so that anybody could understand it? Do you realize the New Testament was written to people as letters to be read in the church to people who were illiterate and couldn't read? It shouldn't be complicated. It should come back to the simplicity of, nope, I identify that as a lie. Well, how do you know? Because God said. Well, no. Yeah, but look at this. Now there's this natural proof. No, there's not proof. It's a theory. No, there's this natural, and it says this. No, I don't believe it. Well, how can you not? Because God said. What happens when your kid can come to a place to say, I identify that as a lie. I identify that as the enemy. I identify that as absolutely contrary to God's word. And that is not going to derail me. What happens when your kid can get out of college going, I still believe this 100%. Well, how can you say that? Because I believe God said. Church, what happens when you come to a place, and I believe this, man, I believe this with everything in me. I think we have lost a lot of ground in the church to the enemy because people have been so lukewarm and preachers just don't preach anymore. Why can't it just come back to a place to say, no, I'm firm and steadfast on this? Well, how do you know? Because I believe God said. Well, what's that? It's called faith. And we come to a place to say, I believe Genesis 1, 2, and 3. There's so many who to count this as maybe just a story. I think Genesis 1, 2, and 3, maybe they call it a poem. This is something fresh. Maybe this is the art of deception that's crept into the church, that maybe it's just a poem. At what point do you actually start believing? Tell me what chapter you start saying, yep, okay, Matt, no longer a poem. Now I believe it. But when you take out Genesis 1, 2, and 3, guess what? You just took out Romans 5. By one man, sin entered the world. Right? When you understand the reality of the truth of God's word, when you start picking and choosing what you want to call a poem and what you want to call literal and what you want to call truth, listen, believe it or reject it, don't change it. Believe it or reject it, don't change it. Right? Proverbs 30, verse 6 is very, very clear. Man, the word of God is tested as silver. Do not add to it and do not take away from it, for you will be a fool. Let's not be foolish. I want to build up an army of people who will look at God's word and say, I believe it. Don't care what opinion is. Don't care what school says. Don't care what books say. I'm not give a flip about scientists. I don't care. Listen, there's some amazing, godly, wonderful, God-fearing scientists that are like you. Others, you natural are crazy because I can prove to you that this is only by a supernatural act, that all of this came from nothing. Come on, we're gonna do just a workout today in the Bible, and we're gonna get some things. We're gonna start in the beginning, and then we're gonna go to the end, and then we're gonna fill in the middle. right? It's like an Oreo cookie today. The you got the beginning, and then you got the end, and then you got the mega stuff right in the middle of it, right? Who's into Oreos? Mega stuff, are you with me, right? Listen, the pumpkin filling, nasty. Just stick with the white mega stuff, man. They've added peanut butter, they've added mint. Stop. Just give me the Oreo with the mega stuff, and that's a game on right here. Let's go. Come on. I want you to see this with me, Genesis 1. Father, please make this clear. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that there is a presence in this room, and your word is true. And Father, I'm asking that any lie that the enemy has told to anyone in this room or online, it will be debunked today, and they will have to think about it. They will have to think about it. Father, give me the words to speak in Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Come on, let's hit this thing. Let's hit it hard. Here we go. In the beginning, God created. Okay. Great message. God bless you. Like, that's all. If we just say that, can we just believe the very first sentence of Genesis 1:1? How is it that you want to walk by faith and you want to be fully surrendered? You want to say, yes, Jesus. And then you get to Genesis 1 and 2 and there is a test of your faith that punches you right in the nose right off the bat in Genesis 1 and 2. Do you believe that God Almighty single-handedly created everything out of nothing? And it was not by natural means. It was 100% by God Almighty. You can't create everything out of nothing when you don't believe in a natural means. No, there had to be something natural. There had to be something pre-existing. No, in the beginning, God, he was forever. And then there was creation. So we have God and God alone who's forever. And then there was creation. And you come to a place where we better be aware of the billions of years, and you better be aware of the millions of years. And every time that you hear that, read that, see that, man, there better be a red flag that goes up in your spirit going, nope, I'm calling your bluff. Nope, I don't believe it. Nope, that's a lie. And listen, please hear this. We are very firm in our belief in Scripture that it was literally 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. We're talking about a seven-day creation. Let's read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving or hovering over the surface of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, why do you believe it? Because he said so. It's not that complicated. But see, we need to get... I wasn't even this... excited in the first service. You guys do something to me. Like, look at this. We need to get pumped in this sense to really say enough's enough. At what point, BC, do you as a born-again believer in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ, that you are the protector and overseer of your family, that husbands, come on, own your space here. Come on, own your space as the dad and as the husband, that you say, listen, I need to know the truth of this because I'm being aware of some things in this series that's not coming into my house. And I need my child to identify quickly, immediately. Nope, nope, nope. Nope, that's a lie. You can tell me it every single day. Just because you tell me it on repeat, don't make it true. You got to know that. Just because you hear it again and again and again, it does not take something that is a lie and make it truth just because they tell it to you on repeat. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. I want you to see a theme here. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Can I ask you a question? Do we have evening today? Do we have morning today? All right, one day. Verse 6, then God said, let there be the expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And he made the expanse and separated the waters. Expanse is the heavens. It separated the waters and below in the expanse from the waters which were above the waters. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, second day. Look at it, verse 9. And God said, let the waters below the heavens gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And he gathered the waters and called sea. And God said it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetations and plants yielding seed and fruit trees. And the earth bearing fruit after their kind and the seed in them. And it was so. Verse 13. And there was evening and there was morning a third day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be the light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for the signs of the seasons, for the days and years, and let them be for the lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, which is called the what? And the lesser light to govern the night, which is called the what? And he made the stars also, and he placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth, and he governed the day and the night. Watch us to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. And then you look at the fifth day, and then you look at the sixth day, and it's a repeat. Verse 23, and there is evening and there is morning, a fifth day. And you look at verse 31, and there was evening, and there was morning, and there was a sixth day, and on the seventh day, God rested. Can I just ask a simple, simple question? Do we have the sun? Does it govern the day? Do we have night? Does the moon govern the night? Is that a day? Is that a particular time? Do we function in a seven-day week? Do we function in the reality that there is a ball that hangs during the day that is the sun, and it gives us light in the day that goes down, moon shows up, moon is lighting, gives us light for the night, and then that goes down, that is one day, 24-hour period, right? Right? So far, we're looking at this going, okay, Sean, how do you know that it's a literal 7 days? It's kind of like the question of those who swim in the ocean and don't believe in water. Because we actually live in the exact presentation of Genesis 1, where there is a ball in the sky that lights the day, and there's a ball in the sky that lights the night. And in that whole revolving period, it's a day. Day one, day two, day three. We go in the whole 6 days of creation, and on the seventh he rested. And the simplicity is, what are we living in right now? Well, it's 7 days. Wouldn't it just make sense that exactly what you read in Genesis 1 is exactly how we function today, in a day that there's a night and there's a morning and it's a day? It's just not that complicated. It's really not that complicated. Come on, I'm going to prove it to you again. Someone said, well, that's just Exodus and it's a poem. Okay, let's look at, Genesis. Look at Exodus, please. Exodus 20. I love this because this is now Exodus, and this now reveals the six-day creation. And this is so important because the enemy will try to get in there and say, no, it was billions of years. No, man, day one could have taken a million years. We don't know that. No, wait a minute. We're functioning now. One day equals sun up and then moon up, and that's a day. There's night and then there's morning. There's evening and then there's morning. Day one. Look at this. Exodus 20 says this. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do your work. How many work days are there? There's supposed to be six work days. Well, where on earth would we get 6 days from? And on the seventh, we're supposed to have a Sabbath. Like, on the seventh day, God rested. It was the Sabbath. Isn't it amazing that within the top 10, we're called to keep the Sabbath holy, but it's supposed to be a six work day? Well, maybe that doesn't have anything to do with creation. Good. Read verse 11. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. You can believe it or you can reject it, but don't change it. And when you come to a place to say, okay, I believe that God Almighty and Jesus Christ and by his Spirit truly walked in a place of our great creators. In the beginning was God, which means he has been forever. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have forever been. and then they created. I want you to look at this, Revelation chapter 4, please. Revelation chapter 4. Let's go to the end and see if it's consistent with God Almighty being the great creator. Revelation chapter 4 says this, verse 11. Worthy are you, O Lord, and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Look at this. Worthy are you, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. You created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Revelation 5. We'll go with verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might, honor, glory, and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, and dominion forever and ever. Watch this, verse 13. And every created thing which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, on the sea, and all things in them. Revelation 10, please. Verse 5 and 6. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and in the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created. I love this. In the beginning, God created. Who lives forever and ever, he's always been. There is no beginning to God. Always been. But yet there was a point that there was creation. He is forever being, but yet there's a point that he created. Watch this, watch this. Verse 6, swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created, there's a point there, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it. Come on, watch this. Revelation 14. Here's where we get juicy right here. Watch this, Revelation 14, verse 7. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory. Because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. See, here's where it is. I love Revelation 14, verse 7, because it nails it in a sense of walking in a place to fear God. Listen, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where knowledge starts. It starts in our reverence and our respect. It starts in our fear of God. That's where knowledge begins. Knowledge never began in the natural. Your understanding didn't become because of a textbook. Please hear me. Evolution didn't start with Darwin. It's not like everything changed when this dude wrote a book. Who do you think influenced the dude to write a book? Listen, there has been this issue from the beginning. Please hear me. It's not Darwin's fault. Everyone likes to blame Darwin. It's not Darwin's fault. I promise you, if Darwin died an atheist, I promise you he is a creationist today. Because the moment he died, he stood before the very one who said didn't exist. Good luck. Well, I did up. I was wrong. Like, you know, where are you going to be in that when you're so staunch in atheism, which we're going to talk about this. This whole message title is They Without Excuse. The moment you die, you recognize what a fool you have been. Because the Bible says those who say there is no God is a fool, Psalms 14:1. And you realize, oh, I guess I'm a creationist now. Good, too late. That's the reality. And you come to a place, watch this. So you look at Proverbs 1:7. Where does knowledge come from? It starts with our fear of God. Proverbs 9:10 says, listen, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It starts with our proper picture of who God is. It starts with our reverence towards God. And that reverence towards God is seeing him as he is in that proper picture. Look at this. And he said with a loud voice, fear God. I love that. And he said with a loud voice, fear God. Give him glory. Like, I love this because even you see it in Psalm 8, verse 1. It talks about his splendor and his majesty. He who has created the heavens and the earth. I love that his creation is attached to his splendor and his glory. The heavens are telling the glory of God. I love the Psalm 19:1. The heavens are telling the glory of God. And the stars are declaring the work of his hand. Listen, when you look at creation, it screams the majesty of God. It screams the glory of God, the strength of God, the power of God. Why is it that the enemy would love to take the feet out from under that? When you come to a place to really understand, it is by his creation that I can declare that he is all powerful. It is by his creation that his own creation screams that he is majestic and that he is powerful and he is strong and he is mighty and he is glorious and he is magnificent. It is by his creation that his radiance is seen, because the stars declare the work of his hands. God did this. I could just hear the stars. God did this. God did this. And last night was brilliant. Man, I laid out. I got home. I laid out on my driveway after I got home. It was probably, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I just laid on my driveway. I was so hoping I didn't get run over because it was just pitch black. And man, you just looked up, and last night it was, and I loved it because I know where I'm preaching today. And I just laid there on my driveway, and just, it was just pitch black, and the sky was just brilliant. Brilliant. And the stars are declaring the work of his hands. He did this. God did this. God did this. They declare the work of his hands by his hands. On day four, God said, and the stars also. Bang, there they are. A number that we can't count. Isaiah tells us that God knows every number, and he counts them all by name. And man, when I'm laying in my driveway, I know, and this is where I enjoy the Christian scientists who just give us some truth in regards to the expanse of the universe. And it just goes, 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 and it just goes. And there are stars without number. And you realize that what we can just see is just a spit in the ocean compared to what's out there. And they are just declaring this is the very power of God. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm." Watch this. "For nothing is too difficult for you." How do I know? How do I know in any circumstance that I will ever find myself that God, you've got this. God, you are all powerful. God, you will see me through. God, I know. How do I know that? Why? I love this. Oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. And I know that nothing is difficult for you. How do you know that? Because of creation. Because of the glory of creation. Because I see the sun, the moon, the stars. Because I see the vegetation. Because I see what's in the sea. And I just believe that, God, that was nothing for you. It wasn't difficult for you to create in 6 days. That was, God, all you did was say, and it became. But in all of that, it is an absolute sheer showing of your power and your authority and your might and your glory and your majesty that I here on the earth can say, I know that nothing is too difficult for you and that you are in absolute control and that you are in charge. And church, that will bring you peace and that will bring you rest and that will ditch your anxiety when you come to a place to know, man, by the outstretched arm of my God and by his great power, he has created the heavens in the earth, and nothing is too difficult for him. And I see his majesty, and I see his might, and I see his glory. Everything's gonna be okay. What happens when the enemy is just trying to strip that away? When we truly see this supernatural, and it's only supernatural by a God who's been forever, and then God spoke and creation became, and it's 100% supernatural. There was nothing natural involved. What happens? What happens to our kids? What happens to our college students? When the enemy has dropped some seeds in their spirit because it's just been on repeat. And you and I haven't done our job for our kids, even in college, they can cry out a lie. No, that is a lie. No, that is, I don't care the proof that you say you have. I don't care what books have been written. I don't care that you're a three-time doctor. I don't care what you say. I believe this. God is the absolute of all knowledge. Way before, you are a dot amongst billions of dots. What do you know that God doesn't know? I don't care about the smartest people on the planet with their triple doctorates, if they have anything to say that is contrary to God. My mind goes to, you are just a simple dot on God's creation. Matter of fact, God who created you, you're the one saying God didn't create it, and you're an actual piece of his creation. And I'm going to more listen to God than your smart three doctorates. And you got to be so careful. You got to be so careful. You better know what your schools are teaching. You better know what college you're going to send your kids to. Just because it's considered, quote, Christian, you better be very aware of what they believe. And you better be very aware of the lies that are on that campus. You better be very careful on whether they believe in a six literal days. You better be very careful if they will believe that God, it was God alone. It wasn't intelligent design. It wasn't God plus anything. It was God supernaturally created everything out of nothing. And you better walk in that fear of God. Watch this. Here it is, verse 7. And he said with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Isn't this amazing? Why is evolution so popular? Why is it such a fast-growing lie? Even, watch it, even within the church. Because when you come to a place to say there's no God, when you come to a place to say, you know what, I'm gonna walk in a place to say I believe in evolution, because then that removes my mindset that I'm actually gonna have to give an answer for my conduct. If I can remove God, I can do whatever I want. If I can remove God, who says there's right and wrong? If I can remove God, I don't have to worry about being judged. No. Wait a minute. Watch this. Because in the hour of his judgment has come, worship him who made the heavens and the earth. Isn't it amazing that it comes right down to one who wants to discredit creation because they want to worship themselves? They want to put all the attention on them and on their flesh to say, who says there's a right and wrong? Who's going to judge my conduct? I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to walk in a place to worship myself. And listen, that is just the absolute top of flesh. But when you remove the Creator, this is what they get. Come on, I want to look at this, if you would, please. Turn me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and then we'll go to Romans 1. As you're turning to Hebrews 11, I want to read this to you, because when you begin to break down the reality of what does creation mean to you and I. Honestly, for me personally, man, when I see the stars, and that's my favorite, I love the stars. Actually, God created Renee, and she's actually my favorite. This is by far 27 years, BC. I love that. 27 years with the most amazing woman on the planet, in my opinion. And God has blessed us. We had a wonderful Friday night. It was amazing. And God created her. That's all I'm going to say about my Friday night. Come on, amen. Hey, I'm married. Get busy. Here we go. Anyways, God's creation, by the way. We're going to hit that next week. Here we go. We're going to hit it next. I can't even go there yet. You get all, get you focused here. Here we go. I just want to read Colossians 1. Watch this. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us from the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins, and in his image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. This is Jesus. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominion, rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Hebrews 11 says this. How can you actually believe this? Because God said so. Well, how do you know? by faith. Church, isn't it amazing that it takes a lot more work? It takes a lot more work to believe in evolution, that billions of years ago, there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, there was this matter that formed, and then it blew up. And then all of a sudden, billions of years ago, there were fish. And then all of a sudden, the fish grew feet, and the fish turned into you. If you believe you came from a fish, and you have to go through that billions and millions of years process to get to where you're at right now, if you were to tell the innocent of a child to say, hey, I think you came from a fish, they'd be like, Mom, you've been drinking. Do you realize it's a lot easier and it's just in simple form just to believe, you know what, there is a God who is all powerful and almighty. There is a God who just spoke it into being, and that's what I believe. Instead of the theory of the billions of years that once you were a fish and now you're this, and guess we haven't changed yet. So what could be next? But it takes a lot. But there are people who actually believe that. There are people who actually want to go so far to deny God for their own selfish reasons. They want to go so far to not walk in a fear of Him, to not walk in His glory, to not walk in judgment, and to worship themselves. They will go so far against that for their own self that they'll believe that they came from a fish. Hebrews 11:3 says this, for by faith we understand that the worlds, that's the universe, that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Hebrews 11:3 just brings it down to so simple. It is, how do you know? Because I believe it. Well, what's your belief? It is my faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Are you serious? You're dumb enough just to walk by faith that you just believe it because God said it? You're dumb enough to believe that you were a fish. Do you really want to have this conversation? Some of you might have thought you were a tree. Yeah. I would say that I'm filled with faith because it's only by faith that we understand that the worlds, the universe, were prepared by the word of God. And God said, by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which were visible. Please hear this. BC, you cannot mix the supernatural with the natural. Think that it was God, yeah, but maybe something else. Yeah, well, I can believe in part of creation, but I'm more of a intelligent design type of person because I don't know if I can just buy full in to God as the creator in 6 days. I don't know if I can buy into all that. So it had to have been God plus. For by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that it was seen, was not made out of things that were visible. It came from nothing. You can believe it or you can reject it, but don't change it. Don't change it. Last verse is this, Romans chapter 1, please. And in this series, we will be in Romans 1 quite a bit. And I want you to see this. We'll start right in 17. It says this, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. Isn't it amazing that when you see Old Testament quoted in New Testament, isn't it amazing that when you look at Genesis alone, for those who want to call it a fairy tale, for those who want to call it a nice poem, did you realize that in Genesis alone is mentioned 200 times in the New Testament. 165 times it's quoted. Every author of the New Testament references Genesis. Jesus himself references Genesis. And you come to this place. For the wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Watch this, man. This is the top of deception, is when people want to suppress the truth. When people want to, and the word suppress, it means to hold down. It means to suppress. It means to push back. There are those who want to walk in their unrighteous ways. There are those who want to discredit creation and call them a fool when you say there is no God, so that I have access to do whatever I want to do. I want to walk in that unrighteousness. Therefore, to do that, what do I need to do? I need to suppress. I need to hold down the truth. We got a new puppy in our house. It's Olivia's puppy. Don't tell her this, but it's what I have to do, because little puppies, they bite. They've got those razor sharp tooth. I take my foot and I suppress Olivia's puppy. Don't tell her, but
I'm right here.
I don't kick her. I just suppress her. Like, I just let her know I'm the king of my house, man. That's what we do. But isn't it amazing that you actually have to take truth and you have to hold it back? Unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. Isn't it amazing that God has put truth in every person's heart? Church, don't miss this. Biblically speaking, there will be nobody, not one person, who stands before God that has an excuse to say, I didn't know. Here's the one of the power plays of creation. And you got to know this. The word of God is written in all man's heart. Nobody will stand before that throne to say, I didn't know. Watch. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. How? Verse 20, how does God make himself known? How does God make it evident to them? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes or qualities and the eternal power and divine nature. Look at this. Watch this. His qualities, his power, his Godhead has been clearly seen and understood through that which he made, so that they are without excuse. There is not one person here, online, in the billions of people on earth today, the billions of people that lived in the past, whomever would live in the future, there's not one person, whoever has breath, that will be able to stand before God to say, I didn't know. His power, his godliness, his Godhead, his divine nature, his invisible qualities have all been shown. How? When you lay out in a dark night and you just see his brilliance and you see his majesty and you see his glory and you see his might and you see his strength, and the stars are screaming back at you going, God did this, God did this, God did this. I am a declaration of the work of his hands. There will be no one who stands before him to say, I didn't know. You and I are tiny, tiny little dots, billions and billions of little dots on a little bit of a bigger dot called Earth, amongst some bigger, bigger dots called the galaxy. And you come to a place to realize in all of that, no one can say I knew more than him. And no one can say I didn't know. The Bible says you're being a fool. The Bible says you're being a fool. Come on, bow your heads, please. No one will be able to give a defense. What side are you on? The art of deception, man, this is so real. If you bought into any of the seeds of the enemy, man, as a parent, you please, please, mom and dad, know where your kid is in the sense of what he's watching, what he's hearing, and what he's reading, and what he's studying. Know that immediately you want him or her to be able to say, "Dad, that's a lie. You can tell it to me again tomorrow. I'm going to call it a lie. I can get to college and you can try to convince me with the best of the best and the smartest of the smartest, and I'm just going to simply call it a lie because it's not true, because I believe God said and it became. And I believe God Almighty is the great creator, and I stand on that because it gives me a hope that there is nothing, nothing too difficult for him." Parents, plant that seed that will forever grow in your kids. You better know that this will be a fight and this will be a battle. And if they hear it, it's immediate. Nope, that's a lie. Nope, that's not true. Well, how do you know? By faith, I believe that when God said, it became. And in the beginning, there was God. He has been forever. And there was this moment of creation, and it happened in 6 days. And on that seventh, he rested. Lord, I just ask that we would just be wise to this and we would have a deep understanding on this. Father, we're just simple enough to say we believe it, but strong enough to fight for it. God, I pray for an army in this place, people who will believe your word at all costs, will fight for the truth. And the enemy would have no place in our homes, that we would be very aware what's happening in schools, be very aware of what's happening in colleges. Be very aware from a liberal agenda that's trying to just take over our kids, God. Let us call it a lie. Let us be firm and strong and bold and courageous. Man, would you just keep your heads bowed? I'm just asking, man, where is your boldness in this? Where is your courage in this? Where is your strength in this? Can you be bold on this? Can you be strong in this position? Can you say, hey, it's worth fighting for? Man, this thing isn't going to collapse my kids. Man, it's worth being bold. It's worth having that sense of courage. It's worth being lioness towards this. Say, no, we'll fight for this. No, we'll stand for this. No, we're going to be bold towards this. We're not going to be unashamed about this. We're going to be vocal on this. This is our position, and we will not be moved. Come on, where are we in this? College student, where are you in this? Where is your voice in this? Man, I just feel that there's some who would say, man, I'm just not as smart as a professor. And they come up with all of this scientific, what they would say, proof. And they did all of this and all of that. And they just, if you would just simply quote the scripture, say, this is my position and I will not budge. College student, get it. Young adult, get it. High school student, get it. This is my position. I don't have all the answers. I admit I'm not as smart as you, but I believe I'm much wiser, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and I believe God. And in my teenage years and in my high school years and in my college years, I can truly believe that I have more wisdom than the smartest professor of evolution. Because I walk in a great fear of God. College student, high school student, get it. Get it. Parents, get it. Young adults, get it. Please, please. Know what you believe. Quote the scripture in Jesus' name.